ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure video game set in a lethal yet vibrant future Earth. Play as a raider, where you will settle into a fractured underground settlement, hoping to build a new home and legacy for yourself. In order to thrive, you must return to the surface, where lethal ARK machines roam unchecked and the motives of other raiders are dangerously unclear. But if you are fearless enough, who knows what you might find? Pre-order now for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and PC. Available on October 30, rated T for Teen.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why fans. It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on King MOX.
We are back at it as we get into hour number two of the program. Very happy right now to be able to welcome onto the program. We'll talk a little Mizzou with him. We'll also probably get into a little baseball before we wrap things up. He is the associate sports editor with the Columbia Missourian. He is Mark Saxon, and you can follow him on Twitter at Mark A. Saxon, S-A-X-O-N. Mark, thanks for taking some time. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. It's fun to be back on the airwaves with you, Matt. And it's been a very interesting start to the Mizzou season, and a lot of excitement for good reason. Who would have thought, right, that Vanderbilt Mizzou would be the center of the college football universe in mid to late October, right?
Yeah, I don't think many people had that on their bingo cards for sure. Do we have more answers or more questions about Missouri based off what happened against Auburn?
I think actually a lot of the questions that were there before that game were sort of underlined in ink, if that makes sense. I don't think any new issues arose, but, you know, for all of their running, their rushing yards that they had just piled up through those first, you know, five games, before they got to Alabama and Auburn, so the crux of the SEC schedule, you know, if you really dug in and looked at how they were getting those yards, a lot of them were just the greatness of Ahmad Hardy. Some of the offensive line grades on the blocking side were not great, so he was just breaking tackles and getting a lot of yards after contact. Well, what happened, I think, against Auburn is some of the issues on the offensive line proved to be a little bit more costly because guys were getting and hitting him in the backfield rather than when he got to the hole or a yard or two downfield. So I think they do have some issues they need to clean up on the offensive line side. And I do think there have been some too many big plays on the passing side for other teams. I think there's some miscommunication happening at times from the secondary. But again, beyond that, I would not say that there are enormous questions surrounding this program right now. They seem to me to be pretty solid all the way through the roster.
Yeah, it's really hard to win on the road at the SEC, and I think we saw that when you looked around some of the other games. Texas almost lost against Kentucky. You saw Texas A&M almost losing at Arkansas. If you want to take a shot at Missouri for maybe not playing their best game against Auburn, is it also important to remember at the same time that they're playing on the road for the first time this year?
Oh, it's absolutely enormous. And the coaches were extremely concerned about that because what happened last year, the first time they went on the road, they were undefeated. They went down to Texas A&M and they got clapped, right? They lost by, 30 points. And they kind of reeled for a little bit while after that. I mean, they were lucky enough, after that A&M game, they played UMass, one of the worst teams in FBS. So that helped. But, they had a lot of focus on that. They had so much focus, in fact, Matt, that the team took like a practice road trip before the season started to Lindenwood College, of all places. They traveled to St. Louis, St. Charles area, just to practice sort of the protocols of a big-time college football team practicing, and the meetings you do at the hotels and all that stuff. That's how concerned they were coming off of what happened last year at Texas A&M. So, yeah, it got that out of the way. They know they can win on the road in an extremely hostile environment. Their stadium is a tough place to play. And so, yes, I would say that was maybe the most important thing that happened for Mizzou out of this game.
On social media, not that it matters, but on social media, Drink got a little bit of criticism for how he celebrated it. What did you think about his post-game celebration, jumping up and showing his enthusiasm?
Oh, you know what? This shows how little I'm on certain aspects of social media. I actually didn't see it. Can you describe it to me?
Oh, just people basically making fun of him for the fact that he jumped up on the podium and was excited, you know, almost looking like they won the Super Bowl when they beat Auburn, was basically the point that people were making.
So my impression of Drinkwitz is that's just his personality, right? I mean, he does that stuff all the time. He ends every interview, you know, on the field with M-I-Z, right? He's a little different kind of cat. So I think it's perfectly on brand myself. They were fired up again. Like that was, I wouldn't call it a trap game because it is Auburn. I mean, that's a little disrespectful, but Auburn has some very talented football players. They have a receiver who I think is going to be an NFL standout named Cam, Cam, it begins with a C anyway, very good receiver. They have a defensive line, as I mentioned, that just stuffed the run against Missouri. So that was a game that even though Auburn's been down, that was a game Mizzou easily could have lost. And so, yeah, I think there was a lot of relief in this coaching staff to get out of there with the win.
Yeah, Cam Coleman had a good game. 6 receptions, 108 yards. So he got after it pretty good. It's this run of games, though, that Missouri is in right now, because playing Alabama last week, and I think we're really starting to see just how good Alabama is despite that early season loss. Mm-hmm. And now they're going to have back-to-back weeks with Vanderbilt, Texas A&M, and then even after one more week with Mississippi State, they then play Oklahoma. To go through a 6-week stretch where you have Alabama, Vanderbilt, A&M, and Oklahoma over 4 of those weeks, that's a really tough gauntlet to go through.
Yeah, and I think it also speaks to kind of when you're scheduling, if you have to be a little bit careful about front-loading, you know, the easier games there. Because they really, for the first 4 games, you know, Kansas, yeah, they had some struggles with Kansas. But for the most part, they were playing teams that they would have had to play so poorly to have any chance of losing. So to play Louisiana and UMass and Central Arkansas all within your first 5 games, it really does make it kind of difficult when you start ramping up. And so, as you mentioned, now they're in this gauntlet. Well, the way the SEC looks this year, if you look at the remaining, 6 games left on their schedule? Any of those games could be a loss, and any of those games could be a win. You know, you look at that Texas A&M game and say, well, Texas A&M beat them last year badly and, you know, is in the top 5. But, you know, they have that game at home. But then you say, well, Arkansas, they fired their coach. That game's on the road. There's no easy games in the SEC. And I think that's the point they're at now. And I think the other question is, you know, if they are a bona fide college football playoff contender, how many losses can you afford? I think in past years they would have said that 3rd loss, you're out.
Yeah.
This year, I don't think that's going to be the case. I think you're going to see a multiple 3-loss teams, and Missouri could potentially be one of them. What if their only losses are to Alabama, Texas A&M, and at Oklahoma? That's not a bad resume.
No.
So it's going to be interesting to see what happens there.
Yeah, that's where I get worried about the helmet decal bias that goes along with it, because if we're talking about Texas or Oklahoma, Ohio State, like Michigan, if we're talking about one of those, then yeah, what you said is right on. If you're going to need help as Missouri with that 3rd loss to get in, call me jaded, but I don't know if the committee's going to do it for you.
No, you're right. And that's why, you know, the biggest game in the country this week is Mizzou Vanderbilt. You know, College Game Day is there. But maybe there is that little caveat. Maybe as big as this game is, because it's Vanderbilt and it's Mizzou, do they have to do more than, Tennessee or some of the teams you mentioned, LSU, Texas, as a three-loss team to be considered? And you would hope it would be a little more formulaic than that. They would put more on, you know, strength of schedule and quality wins, things like that. And I do think they will. But I agree with you. At the end of the day, if you're a blue blood program, you probably do have to do a little bit less, you know, to get one of those multi-loss kind of positions in the playoffs.
We're talking with Mark Saxon, associate sports editor with the Columbia, Missouri. And since we have you, I wanted to ask you about this because you were somebody who was around the Cardinals for a while. When you see and hear the stories about Albert Pujols and Yadier Molina wanting to be managers, and it seems like Pujols, while he's not going to be with the Angels, it seems he's still talking to Baltimore. Now reports say that he might be the front runner for the San Diego job. Are these two guys that you think are going to go be successful as managers in the big leagues?
I mean, from what my experiences with both of those guys, I can't imagine there are too many people out there who are smarter baseball people than either one. And you don't see, like, the catcher thing to the dugout as a manager is a very common, probably the most common transition, because catchers have to see the whole game, right? They have to understand pitching and hitting. But Pujols, I think, is a perfect fit for coaching or managing because he always was just such an intelligent player. He was a guy who didn't have speed but was a very above-average base runner because he just knew when to go. He knew he knew pitchers' moves. He knew the situation in the game. So, yeah, to me, those guys both stand out, even though typically you don't – you know, the old thing used to be, you know, Hall of Fame caliber players can't be good managers because they can't relate to the struggles of the average player. I think those two guys kind of could. And I think they have the personalities that would be outstanding. And I'd be shocked if they both really do want to do it. I'd be shocked if they're both not doing it very soon.
The game 7 of the ALCS is underway, Seattle and Toronto. Do you have a team that you think is going to win? And do you have a team that you want to win, whether they're the same or whether they're different?
It's tough because, you know, back in the day, I spent years covering the AL West. I went to Seattle 1,000 times, and I saw some great teams there that could just not play in the playoffs. I think specifically of that 2001 team. I was covering the A's that year. They won 116 games, and I think they got knocked out in the first round of the playoffs or possibly the second round. But, you know, they've just had that horrible playoff mojo. But part of me, too, like just seeing what Vladdy's doing, and I covered his dad, and it's just unbelievable what he is doing. So I don't know. To me, that's kind of the more charismatic side of the bracket right now because of those two storylines, Seattle never having been, and, you know, the Blue Jays representing a whole country and having that bad season last year. Basically the same guys, right? They didn't have a ton of guys, you know, going into this year. It's a lot of the same guys just playing much better. So I love that series. And, you know, it's almost like playing for the right, you know, taking the sheep to the slaughter, right? Because the Dodgers look so good right now. But still, anything can happen in that series, and it's just so much fun this time of year specifically.
Seattle just jumped out to a 1-0 lead. I've got the game on in the monitor here, so they've got the 1-0 lead. Yeah, so we'll see how things go. Mark, encourage people to follow along with you, associate sports editor with the Columbia, Missourian on Twitter at Mark A. Saxon. Thanks so much for the time, and we'll catch up again real soon.
Oh, I would love that. It was so nice visiting with you, Matt. Take care.
Awesome. Very good. That's Mark Saxon joining us here on the program. I don't know. Daniel Henkamp is here. I don't know. Did somebody just... I literally look down. I'm talking to Mark. The game was scoreless. I look up and it's 1-0. Did somebody hit a home run? What? I don't know. I can look it up. But yeah, that happened very, very quickly where it is now it's a 1-0 game for Seattle. But I said this earlier. Everybody, every single message we have gotten at this point. No, it was a Naylor single to score Rodriguez. So that's how the Mariners have the 1-0 lead. Every single message we have received is people really excited about the Mariners, or at least rooting for us. Yeah, we had one texter who's very unhappy with the fact that a league that is mostly based in the U.S. Has a Canadian team. I was talking to some. Who was I talking to about this? Oh goodness, I can't remember. Somebody was really smart, and knew exactly what they were talking about. Because I've always kind of, I always appreciated Montreal as a baseball market, and thought the Expos were fun. And as baseball goes to expand at some point in the next handful of years, I thought Montreal would be a team that or city that could get baseball again. And somebody told me, I can't remember who it was, but they had a ton of credibility that just from a financial standpoint and a market size standpoint, it's not going to work. Where a Toronto works, because there's, you know, when you think about the conversion rate and everything that goes along with being in Canada, when you've got a city the size of Toronto, it works out because of the money that is involved there and how big of a city that is. But for smaller cities in Canada, everything else from a financial standpoint, that it would just be a complete non-starter in terms of Montreal maybe getting Major League Baseball once again, that there are tons of cities in the United States that would be a better even financial fit than Montreal, which was kind of a bummer for me. I liked the idea of another Canadian team in Major League Baseball like it was before. But right now, as Mark alluded to, the Toronto Blue Jays are representing an entire country at this point against Seattle, who again, Seattle's got the 1-0 lead. All right, we are going to take a break. And when we return, we are set to, this could be fun. We're going to be joined by Keith Fisher. He is the head coach of the Lindenwood men's hockey program. And in case you haven't been following along, Lindenwood did something really, really special on Friday night. They picked up a win against number 5 Denver. That is something special. That's something that everybody involved in that game is going to remember, especially on a Lindenwood standpoint. And from also from their view of things, they are hopeful that that can turn into something more. Because like last year, they beat Wisconsin early in the season, but they still didn't have a especially great year. See if they can turn a win against Denver into a really good year. We'll talk some college hockey with Lindenwood hockey coach Keith Fisher. He is going to join us in just a moment. Don't go anywhere. This is a Gray Bar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
ARC Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure video game set in a lethal yet vibrant future Earth. Play as a raider, where you will settle into a fractured underground settlement, hoping to build a new home and legacy for yourself. In order to thrive, you must return to the surface, where lethal ARC machines roam unchecked and the motives of other raiders are dangerously unclear. But if you are fearless enough, who knows what you might find? Pre-order now for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and PC. Available on October 30, rated T for teen.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Gray Bar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. I'll tell you what, another year and another really special victory for Lindenwood Hockey over the weekend, specifically on Friday night. They were matched up against Denver University, DU, and they come away with a victory 4-3 over the number 5 team in the nation. And to talk through that and talk about his program a little bit, we welcome onto the show Keith Fisher, the head coach of Lindenwood Men's Hockey. Coach, thank you for taking some time. How are you?
Things are good. I mean, that was a big win on Friday for the program and for the guys in the locker room. And we've won 3 of our last 4 hockey games. So, we're doing a lot of good things, but we're still building of where we need to get to.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting because wins like this get people like me to give you a call, but it's also, from your perspective, it's just one game and it's just one win and there's a very long season in front of you. How do you kind of, scale up those two things of knowing that it's an important win, but also knowing there's a lot of work right there coming up?
Well, yeah, and it was a big emotional win on Friday night, and I think it hurt us a little bit on Saturday, where we just didn't have the same juice that we had on Friday night. So, that's something that we need to learn from, and I told the guys that we're going to play in bigger games than this in the future. So it's something that we need to learn from and learn how to, everybody talks about mental toughness when things are going bad, when your back's against the wall and you need to be mentally tough. You need to be mentally tough when things are going well too. When, you're down or you have a big win on Friday, you need to be mentally tough to come out and do the same thing and play your game on Saturday. So, still a learning process for this team, but we've done a lot of good things here these first 3 weeks.
What did it say about your club that was a game where you got up, but then you got down, and then you got up again, and you were able to hold on? I mean, just the way that all played out, it certainly said something about your team.
Well, the resiliency with this group all year has been there. I mean, our first 2 wins weekend before up at Lake State. On Saturday night, we're down 2-0 early on. And, I think on Friday night, we're down 4-2 going in the third period. Now, not the way you want to write it up, but I give the group credit of, believing in what we're doing and how we're playing and sticking with it and then, getting success from it in the end. So, now we just need to work on putting 60 minutes together.
DU scored that final goal for them with 54 seconds to go. What is that final minute or so like when your team is holding on to that one goal lead?
It's weird. Like, you got a lot of emotions going through your mind, but it's just make the next play. And, and I hope we're in that situation a lot moving forward. And that's what I tell the group. So, we need to be comfortable in those situations, but, the last 2.5 minutes there, the heart was racing a little bit more.
I know you weren't there last year, but last year around this time, a win against number 9 Wisconsin. This year, a win against number 5 DU. What does it say about Lindenwood, just from a big picture standpoint, that every year the team is putting together these type of marquee victories?
Well, yeah, I mean that's what's special about college hockey is that anybody can win on any night. You have to play your best, and winning in college hockey is very, very hard, night in and night out. So, but the good thing is it puts Lindenwood hockey on the map and shows that we can compete with these teams, and that's what we want to do in the future. And hopefully we're going to be in the league in the future with a lot of top programs. But, having wins like we did on Friday, show people that we're doing things the right way. We're really committed to hockey here, and we want to continue to make this program bigger and better.
We're talking with Keith Fisher, head coach at Lindenwood for the men's hockey program. You came from Penn State. You were voted as the top assistant coach of the year in all of college hockey. When the Lindenwood job came open, what was – I mean, you look at your resume and you say, maybe this is a guy who sits and waits for one of these major conference-type jobs to come open, but you make the jump to Lindenwood. What was it about this program that made you so interested in it?
Well, it's an opportunity to build another program. When I started at Penn State, even going back to my time at Princeton, it was kind of, at Princeton, we were probably one of the worst teams in college hockey when Coach Godowski and I got there. And then we moved on to Penn State and built that program from a club program, to the Big Ten. And, I would consider it a top 10 program right now in the country. And, But it's fun to be able to build a program. It's fun to put your stamp on things and do things that you can come back to in, you know, 15, 20 years and look, hey, look at, they're still doing this. You know, I helped start this. And, you know, when Lindenwood is hopefully a top, you know, 10, 15 program here in the future, you know, hopefully what I instilled here had a lot to do with it.
You mentioned eventually getting into to a league and being able to play those type of opponents more often. How just the current state, I mean, the athletics program is still so early on in terms of its D1. The hockey program hasn't been around that long. But I know you don't want to, like, dive in on the challenges, but there are certainly some challenges right now as this program does continue to build.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think our biggest challenge is just getting the awareness out. And that's why I'm pumped that you know, wanted me on your show tonight. But we need more people. We need more people supporting our student athletes. You know, they work extremely hard. And we have the number 5 team in the country here. And, you know, we need to get 2,000, 2,500. We should be selling some team out. And I think, you know, just the awareness locally will help us, you know, on a national level as well. But, you know, that's something that we're talking about as an athletic department, is just getting more awareness, you know, within the St. Charles, St. Peter community. Like, we're a real program. We got a ton of great teams coming in here. You know, and I look at college hockey right now as, you know, a stepping stone for the NHL. A lot of the players that you see are going to be playing either for the Blues or against the Blues in, you know, 2-3 years.
Yeah, I mean, Jimmy Snugger is a great example of that. He was a college hockey player basically a year ago, and he's now a big part of the Blues. I was talking before we started, before I brought you on the air, we were talking off a little bit. I lived in Colorado Springs for a good number of years, and in Colorado Springs, you've got two college hockey programs in Colorado College and Air Force that are both really big deals in the community, and college hockey is so much fun. And I think in St. Louis, especially since Missouri and Illinois, those two universities don't really have college hockey at the highest level, this is an opportunity for Lindenwood to show the St. Louis market what college hockey is about. So I hope that people do get to kind of know what's going on at Lindenwood, because as you mentioned, that's a really good DU team that came in. You've got other teams that are going to come in that are really high-level hockey, and it's something that hasn't really existed, not even in St. Louis, but close to St. Louis for a while.
Yeah, and we're the only Division I hockey program in the state of Missouri. And like you said, Mizzou doesn't have a big-time program or any other college hockey. And there is no college hockey in the state of Illinois. So we are the only college hockey program around. And, you know, our game Friday night against Denver, that was a high-quality college hockey game. And I've been fortunate to be a part of a lot of high-quality hockey games, being with my time of Penn State and the Big Ten. And that was one of them. That was comparable to one of them. It was fast. Plays were being made on both sides. It was an even hockey game. Shots were 33-33. Chances were even. That's a high-level hockey game. And, you know, a facility like Centene, where you're close to the action, you're right on top of the guys, it's awesome to watch hockey there. Like, there's no better place to watch a big-time college hockey game. If you're into hockey, like, it's a big-time place to watch hockey.
From a recruiting standpoint, the fact that you are kind of on an island, is there an advantage in there that you've got the state of Missouri, you've got the state of Illinois right next to you? There's a, when you think about geographically, you probably got to, you know, go up to Wisconsin or go over to Denver to think about the teams that are closest to you geographically that has college hockey. Are you able to get into some places because of that?
I've been coaching, you know, college and junior hockey for the last 25 years. And I think I've always, probably 90% of the years, I've had somebody from St. Louis on our team. You know, even going back to Paul Stastny when he played for us, and Jan Stastny played for us with the Omaha Lancers when I was assistant then. So I think St. Louis is a hockey hotbed right now. And we want to keep all the top local talent that's here. I mean, there's a lot of big time players coming out of St. Louis right now, but then you got to expand your borders a little bit. And, you know, hopefully we can tap into the, you know, Michigan area a little bit, maybe Chicago. I'm from Minnesota. I want to get some more Minnesota players down here. And then, you know, with the opening of CHL, there is so many more players available that, you know, I think it brings the level of play in college hockey up big time. So, I think college hockey is just going to improve every year moving forward.
If you want to check out Lindenwood for yourself, they're going to be back at home this weekend, Friday and Saturday. They'll take on Miami of Ohio, 7:10 puck drop each night over at the Centene Community Ice Center in Maryland Heights. You can learn all about their schedule and who they are by heading to the website, LindenwoodLions.com. Coach, I really appreciate the time. Congratulations on the win, and hopefully we can chat again down the line.
Yeah, I'd love to do this anytime. Thanks for having me on.
That is Coach Keith Fisher. He is the head coach of the Lindenwood men's hockey team. Again, that's two things. Thing number one, from a program standpoint, it's really cool when you play at Lindenwood and you get to beat top 10 teams in the nation like they did last year with Wisconsin and like they did this year with Denver. From a personal standpoint, these are a bunch of 18 to 22-year-olds who just created a memory that they'll have forever. Daniel Henkamp is here. Turn your mic on for a second, because you do the broadcast, like the student broadcast for Lindenwood High. Am I saying that correctly?
It is, yeah, okay. On KCLC.
Okay, so what was that like for you? Because I talk about the 18 to 22-year-olds who are playing in that game and get to have a memory forever of knocking off the number 5 team in the nation. I know you texted me that night. You were pretty fired up. What was it like for you being able to broadcast that game of what was just an extraordinary moment for that program?
Well, we kind of almost had a big no-no because we were all just so speechless with what happened. It was so fun. And the atmosphere, even though there wasn't that many people at the Centene, because Lindenwood was still building that persona, if you will, in college hockey, it was awesome. And the guys had so much fun. You could just see all the excitement.
I need to get out and watch. I haven't gone. Now, Fridays are tough because I'm hosting this show, but I'll get the family together. We'll come out to a hockey game here on Saturday because I love college hockey, and it's really easy for me to sit here and say, oh, I love college hockey because I used to go to college hockey games all the time when I lived in Colorado, and then not follow that up by actually going to games here in St. Louis. So I'll put it on myself. I gotta go check out some Lindenwood hockey myself, because that is it's a great story of what happened this weekend, and hopefully Coach Fisher in his first year. And when I made that, I asked him that question about why Lindenwood. Again, he was at Penn State, and he was voted the number one assistant coach in all of college hockey. That means at some point in time, if he would have waited, he probably gets a power conference job at some point. If you're at a power conference team and you've been named the top assistant coach in all of college hockey, you, even if it wasn't going to be going into this season, at some point in time, one of the big boys is probably going to come knocking on your door. And can that still happen for him? Sure. We saw Lindenwood have a coach leave this past year. But the fact that Coach Fisher made that decision to come to Lindenwood when he had all that going for him, it says something about him, but it also says something about the Lindenwood program. We'll take a break. We've still got a lot more coming up. We've got 20 minutes left in the program. Don't go anywhere. This is the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
ARC Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure video game set in a lethal yet vibrant future Earth. Play as a raider, where you will settle into a fractured underground settlement, hoping to build a new home and legacy for yourself. In order to thrive, you must return to the surface, where lethal ARC machines roam unchecked and the motives of other raiders are dangerously unclear. But if you are fearless enough, who knows what you might find? Pre-order now for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and PC. Available on October 30, rated T for teen.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly,
you know,
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland,
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey,
Hey, everyone. I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow, it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Live. Once again, Matt Pauley on King of OX.
Rolling on here on a Monday night. We've got you for another 15 minutes or so. We take you until 8 o'clock. Don't know if you saw the news today, but the saga involving Albert Pujols as a Major League manager took a little bit of an interesting turn today. If you listen to this show every day, you remember it was one day last week. I don't remember what day it was. But it was one day last week where the reporting was that Albert Pujols was very close to being the next manager of the Los Angeles Angels. So much so, he had a meeting with the Angels folks here in St. Louis. They came here to visit with him. And the reporting had been that they were negotiating a contract. Well, now the reporting is he is no longer a candidate to be a member, to be the manager of the Los Angeles Angels. What's not known is if it was financials that got in the way, if it was his, maybe he looked at the Angels and said, I can do better than this because the Angels are not well run. Maybe, you know, he's being paid $1 million a year on that personal services contract. Perhaps the Angels kind of balked at him asking for a lot more money than $1 million a year. I don't know. All this is just me going off the cuff on the potential things that could have happened that would have resulted in the timeline of being at some point last week, whatever day it was that it came out, that Pujols was the leading candidate to be the manager of the Angels, and they were going into contract negotiations, to today's news that he is no longer a candidate to be the manager of the Angels. So clearly something happened during that time. Whatever might have happened, I don't know. I am happy for Pujols that he is not going to be the manager of the Angels because it is such a poorly run organization. I want him to go somewhere where he can be successful, and I feel like there's better options. In fact, he has two other teams that are still interested in him. The Baltimore Orioles have reached out with interest. I think the Orioles are a better situation than the Angels, but they're not a situation that is an automatic winner. There is evidently some interest, but the ESPN report says an interview at this point has not been scheduled. One interview has been scheduled, though. He is set to interview for the job in San Diego. And would it be irony if he ended up with the Padres, where they would go from Mike Schilt to Albert Pujols? Do the Padres just want to hire people who are very popular in St. Louis? Is that what they're looking to do? I say that jokingly. I think if you've listened to me, you know I think that Pujols has the opportunity and checks all the boxes to be a really, really good major league manager. And here's something else. He has a good relationship already and is very much respected from a couple of their stars in Manny Machado and Fernando Tatis Jr. So I think that would help. So of all the managerial jobs that are open right now, you can make the argument that the Padres job is the best one. It's probably that one or the Atlanta Braves. I think if I'm looking at all the jobs that are open, Angels, Orioles, Braves, Giants, Nationals, Rockies, Twins, I would look at the Padres and I would look at the Braves as the teams that are most ready to win. And then I'd put the Giants kind of at like 1A or whatever it might be. They're right there after it. And then you would slot some other teams in after that. But I think it seems likely that Pujols is going to be a manager next year. The Padres did have to get permission from the Angels to be able to interview him because he is still under that personal services contract. You would think that if the Padres end up hiring him or if any other team hires him, that personal services contract would just be ripped up and it would never be put in place again. They would be done with that, but he is still an employee of the Angels, so that is something that has to be worked through as well. The other bit of managerial news, and this certainly has a St. Louis tint to it because of Tony Vitello and his connection to our community. Current Tennessee baseball coach Tony Vitello. He reportedly is the leading candidate for the job with the San Francisco Giants. There has never been a college baseball coach that has gone straight from being a college coach to being a major league manager. And the jobs are very different. And Vitello's a guy that, and I love Tony Vitello. I love him. I love the way he coaches college baseball. He is fun. There's a reason that Tennessee program has done what it's done. He won a national title a couple years back. I mean, this is a guy who is really, really good as a college baseball coach. He's a wild man out there, that's for sure. He's probably have to tone things down a bit in the big leagues. It's just, and I have to wonder, did Pat Murphy blaze this trail? And I realized that Pat Murphy didn't go from being a college baseball coach to being a major league manager. He went from college baseball coach to minor league manager to major league bench coach to major league manager. But Pat Murphy cut his teeth as a college baseball coach at Notre Dame and at Arizona. Do teams start looking more at college baseball coaches because that skill set seemingly has worked? If Vitello gets that job in San Francisco, that's going to be a big test, and that could certainly open up doors for college baseball coaches moving forward. One more break. We'll come back. We'll wrap up this edition of the program. It's Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
We are starting to wrap up this edition of the program. I don't know if you saw this. Just a crazy thing occurred yesterday in the NFL. The Denver Broncos beat the New York Giants. That's not the crazy thing. Here's the crazy thing. The Broncos score all 33 of their points in the fourth quarter yesterday. The Broncos' 33 fourth quarter points were the most in NFL history by any team that was shut out for the first three quarters. That has never happened. Their quarterback, Bo Nix, became the first player ever to run for two scores and throw for two touchdowns in a single fourth quarter. And the comeback snapped a streak where NFL teams had won 1,602 consecutive games when leading by 18 points or more in the final 6 minutes of a game. The Giants are not very good. The Giants are a little bit better after they made quarterback change when they moved out Russell Wilson and moved to Jackson Dart. But that is something you are not going to see, a 33-32 win for Denver, and all 33 of their points were scored in the fourth quarter. That was absolute craziness yesterday in the NFL. That is just about going to do it for this edition of the program. Certainly appreciate being with us. We've got a full show every day but Thursday this week, so we'll be back with you tomorrow, 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock, for another Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure video game set in a lethal yet vibrant future Earth. Play as a raider, where you will settle into a fractured underground settlement, hoping to build a new home and legacy for yourself. In order to thrive, you must return to the surface, where lethal ARK machines roam unchecked and the motives of other raiders are dangerously unclear. But if you are fearless enough, who knows what you might find? Pre-order now for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and PC. Available on October 30, rated T for Teen.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Hey, everyone. I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow, it has been 20 years since the show premiered. That seemed, I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.